My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I have an amazing conversation with the woman who is the reason that I am a coach. I met the wonderful Emma Dempsey when I did my training with Animus all those years ago, and she was my training supervisor. She then became my coach. I was in her mastermind. We did one-to-one coaching. She really shaped me as a new coach and gave me the confidence that I needed to pursue my dreams, the goals that I was working towards, and feel comfortable in having conversation. You're really going to love this episode. Emma is so wise, but just so passionate and so kind. And I really can't wait to share this with you. So welcome to the podcast, Emma. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. It's really good to be here.
Oh my goodness, it is a pleasure. So I'm so excited to have Emma here. Emma is the reason that I'm a coach, actually, and has just really shaped me into so many of the things that I do now. And so I'm really honored to have you on the podcast and to have this conversation with you. I guess I want to really start kind of like top line for somebody listening to really understand, like, why coaching? Like, why did you get into coaching? Because you're so passionate about it. I'd really love to actually know that story.
Yeah. First of all, you've made me emotional already, or I am emotional already just hearing that. So thank you. I got into coaching 5 years ago. I had a bit of a crisis, a midlife kind of crisis that I later named my midlife awakening. And part of that was having the way forward in that was having transformational conversations. So I went to see a coach, and it was my first experience of that kind of conversation, I suppose. And really, I spent 90 minutes with her. And in those 90 minutes, I just got a completely different perspective on the stuff that I was bringing, the stories that I was holding, of who I thought I was. And it was just one of those moments or one of those conversations that just changed so much for me. And when I left that session, I just thought, wow, that was amazing. And I could do what she just did. And I literally Googled coaching when I was sitting in the car. I was like, wow, what was that? signed up for training. And yeah, the rest is history, I guess. That was in 2017. And so I'd kind of worked with people for like a long time. I'd worked in health and development. I'd been a nurse like for a few years in my 20s. I worked in community development, very much always around people and person-centered stuff. But it was, I never felt that the power, the kind of empowerment piece, I suppose, of what happens in a coaching conversation. So yeah, that's does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's amazing. And I guess to really kind of like niche down on that, for anyone who's thinking about being a coach, like, how did you choose the training that you chose and the path that you went down, I guess, into transformational coaching? Because it's really interesting to see why everyone does what they do.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to say that I did loads of research and explored lots of articles and, you know, went with the kind of evidence base, but it was a case of the first thing that came up in Google, because I didn't really know, like, I didn't know the bit about what this is, transformational coaching, and this is performance coaching, like that stuff I wasn't aware of until I kind of went into it and did my training and became a coach. And so shall I say a bit about what that is?
Absolutely.
Transformational, or the transformative piece of that, or the transformative coaching, is really like there's performance coaching where you kind of work to a goal and it's all at kind of this goal focusing, and you're checking in with the coach on performance and what have you done and what can you do and how do you stay accountable and all of that stuff, which absolutely has its place. And, you know, I sometimes that's the way that I work. But the transformative piece, or the transformational piece, is like, what's going on kind of underneath the way that we show up. Like, what are our assumptions? What are we believing in the moment? What is the story that we've attached to this, or the meaning that we've attached to this? What are our values? How does all of this kind of show up in the way that we live day to day, in the way that we decide on, what to choose and the choices that we make on a daily basis, really? So, the kind of transformational, the transformative piece of coaching is around that. Well, let's kind of dig into this a bit more to support you to get to that outcome. But, it's kind of digging deeper and really checking in on perspectives and evoking awareness and that kind of thing.
I guess actually I was just going to mention that about the awareness thing. Do you find it at first like people have resistance towards it? Because it is really confronting, isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes, often, sometimes, somewhere between sometimes and often, I'd say, And it's that thing of, uncomfortable conversations. A lot of the time people avoid them because of it's uncomfortable. But actually when we sit with that discomfort and we explore and we unpick and unpack what's going on, it enables us to move forward. But we're kind of told, or we kind of learn that discomfort or uncomfortableness is something that we need to kind of rush out of and not necessarily kind of sit in and explore what's going on. Do you find?
I really like that phrasing. Yeah, I love that phrasing. And I do as well. I think, if you're comfortable in anything, like prime example, like when I started my podcast and I knew like jack shit about podcasts, it was so super uncomfortable. But like, if I'd not been doing that, I wouldn't be over a year in having these amazing conversations. And like, I'm super curious as a host. Like, I learn so much from everyone who comes on here. And so there's so much in that, isn't there? But you have to be willing to kind of confront that first off. So I just want to rewind again, because I want to learn everything from Emma, basically. She's so wise. So for somebody who's kind of in their career now and they're going, okay, I want to be a coach and I want to make this change. Like, talk to me about that bit, like the transition, because we always kind of look at the end bit, don't we? But like, that is super difficult to go through, obviously leaving your job and becoming a coach.
Yeah, so I work a lot with new coaches who are doing that, who are in that transitional piece. So what is it that you want to know around that? Just to be clear.
How it was for you, basically, like when you went through that?
Yeah, so for me, it was pretty full on, I'd say. I trained as a coach. I started this kind of journey in, I think it was like May, and I had finished in November, December. And I absolutely wanted to leave my job. I was working in like a kind of safe job in public health at the time. And I like from the outset, from the minute I discovered coaching, I wanted to leave my job. And it was always there, but it was really scary. I was like single parent. I'm still a single parent. I'm single parenting, like really pretty much responsible for, financially responsible for myself, absolutely, and mostly for my kids as well. I had a mortgage, all of the rest of it. And I just had this thing that it wasn't possible. And that I was kind of a single parent and this is what I had to do till my kids left school. And then maybe I would be able to leave. Da, da, da. But then, of course, through coaching conversations, I started to become aware of, these different perspectives, possibilities. Like, I love that about coaching conversations where we start to think about other possibilities, I just made the decision. It was probably quite, I'd say, a high risk decision. I didn't have savings. I didn't have much at the time. And I had well-meaning friends like telling me not to, that I was mad. But I also had a couple of friends like who just were like, you've got this, like you've totally got this. Like, when have you ever massively failed at anything? And I think that's like a question that I ask myself a lot. Like, well, I tell myself a lot, like, I've got this. And like, actually, how often do we kind of massively fail at stuff? I just made the decision and I left my job in the March. And I had some clients. I wasn't earning very much in my job. And I knew I needed to earn more in order to, live the life that I wanted to live with my kids. But I'd recently divorced as well, and I was adamant that they weren't going to go to like after school club kind of stuff, or I just wanted to be able to pick them up from school. So I knew I had to change something, and so I left. I set up my business. I worked part time really the last 4 years. And yeah, it's done well and it's been amazing. And I get to have amazing conversations on a daily basis and live the life really kind of intentionally, I suppose. So yeah, it's been amazing. And I don't often stop and reflect on it, actually. So yeah, that was nice to do.
It's beautiful. Yeah, you are. That's why you're so inspiring. And I think when I met you, so I met Emma when I was training to be a coach. She was one of my trainers. And I just warmed to her straight away. Like, you have this really like beautiful demeanor, but like you're so passionate about what you do, but it really comes from like a good place. And I think the byproduct of that is your success. So yeah, it's great.
That's nice. I am really passionate about it. I'm really passionate about coaching conversations because they are different and they're different to normal conversations. And when I sometimes think about, like, you know, I didn't find coaching till I was 42 or something. When I think of all of the conversations that I've had in life or all of the places that I've worked that weren't great, maybe toxic or bad management or whatever that was, like, I often wonder, like, if people had known about coaching or had some skills, some listening skills, or, you know, kind of holding safe spaces or whatever that was, like, what might be different. So yeah, I just think coaching skills are like they should be taught at school, really. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, EQ over IQ any day, in my opinion, anyway. I guess as well, you kind of changed your career and you've started out as a coach. So there are some people who listen to this who are new coaches, who I know. What advice would you give for somebody who's starting out? You know, you said you managed to kind of build your client base and you're having these great conversations every day, but like, how did you get to that point, really?
So if you are a new coach, like, just, yeah, great. Like, I just want to kind of acknowledge you. Well done for, if that is you and you're listening and you've gone down that path. I would say, in my experience of a lot of the new coaches that I work with, and, you know, I kind of talk about this a lot, so forgive me if you've heard it already, but often they'll go through training and they'll become coaches and then they'll be like, right, I'm a coach now. And I've got to like do all of this new stuff and meet all of these new people and put myself in front of people who I've never met before and all of this stuff. And it's like, right, I'm on this path now. And all of that stuff that I did before, like, doesn't matter or it's irrelevant because I'm doing this new thing. But actually, like, it's all of that stuff that came before. The coaching that you've learned is just skills that are added on to who you already are. Like, you're already a brilliant person, highly skilled, with years of like work experience, life experience, all of that stuff, and the coaching skills are going on top of that. So there's something about that, like, actually, who are you before you became a coach, and how are you adding these kind of coaching skills onto everything else that you are? And then also in that, like, who are all those people you know already? Those people who already know, like, and trust you. Those people who are excited for this new part of your journey. And, like, thinking about all of those people. Because, yeah, even now, you know, 4 years into my business, a lot of opportunities, and somebody said this to me recently. It might have been you, actually, was it? But opportunities are people. And I love that. So, yeah, thinking about all of the people that you know and all of the people who've known you in whatever capacity, like, reach out to them, tell them. And that's the other thing, tell them that you're now coaching, because so many new coaches don't necessarily tell people that's what they're doing. You know, they kind of keep it quiet. So yeah, talk about it with your networks, the people who already know, like, and trust you. Think about who you are. You're just adding skills onto the brilliant person that you already are. And start having those conversations with people.
I guess as well in that, so would you say your main part of your business is word of mouth, and like you get referred to or people mention you and kind of, or is it the, like, harnessing social media or LinkedIn or whatever that might be, just to be like super specific?
Yeah. So I would say the first year of my business, so I kind of think when I was doing more life coaching stuff, that first year of my business was very much word of mouth. Well, it still is, but word of mouth and people who already knew me, who already liked me and trusted me, who heard what I was doing because I was talking about it a lot and I was so excited about discovering coaching, you know. So they kind of got that excitement, and I worked with a lot of people through that way. And then, of course, like, I worked for, you know, the UK's a big training school, you know, and that put me in front of a lot of people. And I was kind of blessed with that as well. But as I've now left there and I'm kind of feeling I'm not starting again, but yeah, putting myself in front of people again, that actually a lot of the people who are coming to me through my new side of my business are people who I've known in like 4 or 5 years ago in different work capacities. It's interesting. So those circles that you move in, like they don't go away just because you might leave them.
I think as well, like to develop and evolve as a person, you want to take people with you like on that journey. We'll touch on your new side of your business, which is amazing. But I kind of really appreciate that that side of the business is totally different. But whenever I've kind of worked in that space, the more I learn and evolve, the more that person or company will still want to keep working with you because they want their employees to have that experience. They want others to understand that. And so I think it's nice to see how much you've evolved in 4 years, which, you know, is still a short time, they would say, in business. However, that can feel really long, can't it, as well, when you're self-employed. So
I think that's really valuable what you said, that people will want to stay with you on that journey or on that ride. And actually, a lot of the people that I work with again and again and again. So people that I worked with in my first year of business who then decided, similar to how I discovered coaching, who were then like, oh, I want to do coaching, and then who went off and trained to be coaches, then now maybe I supervise them because I'm a supervisor as well, or I support them in building their business. So a lot of the people, have been on the journey with me, and I really love that.
It's powerful. Before I go into like our route, because I really want to delve into your new part of your business, but before that, as a question that comes up for me sometimes, it actually came up in a coaching conversation, is how you deal with quiet seasons in your business. I wondered what you do around that.
I'm curious what you would say as well. quiet seasons in my business, that's, I guess, when I start to, have conversations, always be reaching out to people, connecting with people, and like kind of putting yourself out there a bit more than you might normally. I was saying this to somebody the other day, you know, taking action reaps rewards. So, you know, I've always, I've always felt safe in my business. I've always worked with people. And when it feels a bit quieter, like, think outside the box. What can you do? What can you do to create something new, or to go into a workplace where you know somebody, or create a workshop? Like, or just there's always, you can always connect with people and do something. And I don't know if that's specific enough, but
no, it is. Yeah. I agree with that as well. I think for me, in that time is like a great time to reflect on like what's going well and what isn't, because you never really, like when you're busy, you don't really have the time to assess that. And also to look at like what you're super passionate about. So I don't know if you've ended up like this, but I had one situation where I was working with a company and they were very much kind of pushing me in a certain direction of like what they needed, and which we do, you know, we brainstorm ideas and concepts and I come up with something that I think, but the way that I was being pushed, actually, like it just didn't feel right for me anymore. Like I didn't enjoy it. Like I wasn't looking forward to it. Whereas every time I'm always looking forward to holding a workshop or a conversation, whatever that might be. And so finding out what you're super passionate about and then creating that. So for me, you know, the power of well-being in work, like making wellness a habit. And I use like neuroplasticity coaching techniques. You know, there's not a single mention of a green juice. It's like very quite science-led. I'm quite interested in that. That to me is amazing, which is now my best booked workshop ever because of the passion behind it. So I think as well, like really honing into what you really enjoy is really powerful.
Something else came up for me when you were talking there that really resonated. Oh, it was so like working with your, like, so for you, that was a company, working with your clients. If you don't have clients, like your people, the people around you, also like, so do what you're passionate about, but also like ask people what they want. Ask people what they need. If I was to do a workshop, that would be really great for you. Like what would that be?
Yeah, love that. And people get scared to ask that, don't they? Even on Instagram, I see minimal people ask questions. on Instagram or ask polls or like chat in DMs. Like I always chat to people in DMs constantly. Yeah. That's my way that seems to work really well for me. But also I like that conversation. I like that it's private, you know, so I can really respect somebody, what they're looking for.
Yeah.
But I don't see that many people ask, really.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, people like to be asked as well.
Yeah.
And also if you are working with people, and I know you said this was kind of around quiet times in your business, but if you have like a few clients or maybe it's like people who you have worked with, like kind of think what comes up in those conversations that you're having with them, what comes up in the sessions that would be really useful. Like I know my Newbie to Nailing It program that like hundreds of coaches have now been through was very much designed around what was coming up in individual sessions with people. Mm-hmm. And it was actually, let's kind of do a shortcut to this, create a program and bring everybody in. And hundreds of people have been through it. So
yeah
thinking
so good.
About what people... Absolutely what you're passionate about, but also, yeah, what is it that people want?
Yeah, yeah. And also what, like your new, like prime example there, you created something that people can go through time and time again. Mm. Like you don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time, create a program and then just keep pushing people into that program. If it's something that you really enjoy and that they're getting good results from, then it's like, it just makes your life so much easier. Yeah. Okay, so I want to just go on to talk about your amazing new business because I think it's great, this arm to your business. And, you know, kind of what inspired you to go in that direction and then what makes your offering like really unique? And also I love the name. I don't want to say the name, you can say it.
Yeah, I love the name too. I really love it. So Stellar Conversations. I also love the name, so thanks. And for quite a few people have said that. It came from just what we talked about. You talked about like doing what you're absolutely passionate about. And also it came from kind of what I spoke about, that like, you know, decades of being in work and not having great conversations and just thinking about, oh, if that person had known how to like listen better or to ask better questions, like what might have happened. So yeah, it came from those things and the power of great conversations, or the power of stellar conversations. And really it came from as well, like not everybody wants to train to be a professional coach. And actually, I don't believe that everybody needs to train to be a professional coach or work as a professional coach more to have those conversations. Like we can train in the coaching skills and use them in the conversations that we have on a daily basis. So yeah, it really was kind of born out of that, for people who work with people to have better conversations, because we know that better conversations create great outcomes and allow people to feel heard and open perspectives and help people move forward. And like really at the heart of it, I believe that coaching conversations can shift cultures. So it's around that, actually creating coaching cultures where great conversations are the norm, you know. So I'm really passionate about it. It's nice to talk about it. Thanks for asking.
Of course. No, I love it. And like, you've been doing amazing work as well. So what would it kind of entail? Say there's somebody listening who works for a really cool company and they're interested. What do you do when you go in?
Yeah. So we've designed a 6-unit program and that takes you from, you know, the kind of core coaching skills of really listening, asking great questions, holding that kind of space to allow discomfort if that's what needs to come in. And then it kind of layers on and really kind of thinks about how maybe our thoughts can create our outcomes. And really the training is around, how do I have these great conversations? And so that might be like, you might be adding the skills into a conversation that's already happening. So like maybe it's a one-to-one with a direct report, or maybe it's a conversation with a colleague, or maybe it's a conversation with, I don't know, somebody from your multidisciplinary team. I think that's a health term, but yeah. And actually, yeah, how do you have those better conversations with people? And that might, again, that might be just a 10-minute kind of outcome-focused, laser-focused conversation. That might be a longer, deeper piece, but how do we bring those skills of coaching to really create that transformation, better, braver, greater conversations? And what would the outcomes be of that if you're working in an organization and you're having better conversations and people are really hearing people and people feel empowered to speak up and to make decisions. You know, it's I can't underestimate the power of it. So, yeah, we're really excited about bringing that to organizations. People who work with people is kind of our thing.
I love it. It's so powerful. And also, like we were talking about before we started recording, about language around certain things that, you know, I find difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's like the power of one word, mm-hmm. like one word and one phrase can change everything. And I think it's like amazing work that you're doing. Yeah. So kudos to you.
I'll tell you a story, and not a lot of it, but some of it comes from this. And I think of this sometimes, and I won't say where I was working, but I was in a job and I was working. Well, I wasn't really working. It was kind of at the end of my time there, and I wasn't doing as much as I would have liked to be doing. I'm kind of like a grafter. Like I like time off, absolutely. But when I'm at work, I like to work, you know. And
yeah, I get that.
When I was having conversations with my manager, I was kind of saying, you know, I feel like I'm not doing anything. I'm not really working. I'm sitting at my computer and I'm just not doing anything. And it was really stressing me out. And she just kept saying back to me, oh, you're doing great. No, you're doing great. But I wasn't. And I knew I wasn't. And so I was just, it was making me feel like I was losing my mind. I was like, I'm not doing great. Well, like, you know, and yeah, it just felt, I mean, it was just, I know it's a really kind of simple conversation, but it was just like, I'm not being heard. I'm not doing what I'm here to do. And this is all really impacting my well-being and, of course, my performance and my productivity in the job. And, you know, sometimes I think if she had just said to me, right, I hear you. Like, I hear you, Emma. You think you're not doing work. Like, what is it that you need? Or what can I do? Mm-hmm. If she just phrased it differently, I often wonder, like, what would have been the outcome for that?
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah, completely. You just feel unheard. It's like swept under the carpet, isn't it? It's such an old mentality.
Yes, yeah. We're trying to fix it. No, you're fine. Well, we'll just do this. Or we'll have that. But actually, like, what is it that you need here is such a more powerful.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I love that. I guess as well, with your experience, maybe somebody's listening and they like would love to have that conversation at work, or they find it difficult. Maybe they're met with like someone who doesn't listen, or someone who can be quite defensive around a topic. What would be guidance to aid people around conversation in that space?
Yeah, you know, a really simple thing is a real kind of starter piece for this is if you're having a conversation with somebody, like check in with them what they want from that conversation. And like, so if you and I say we were had maybe 10 minutes to have a conversation today, maybe you could say we have 10 minutes today. Like, what will be a really great outcome from this conversation for you? It's really simple, but it's allowing, well, actually, this is what they want from this conversation. So this is what we're working towards.
Yeah. You just draw me right back to when we were coaching together. Because you'd always say that to me, and I'd be like, I don't know.
And if you don't know, like maybe,
I love it.
Maybe
I love it.
I just want to get clarity on something, or I just know I love heard it in these 10 minutes. And an example of that is I have kids, and one of my kids plays competitive football, and he's really into it. And sometimes when we're driving to a match, or maybe he's played a match and haven't done so well, or whatever. And I just know that car journey to and from the mat.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be quite a high pressured thing. And I know he's sitting beside me and I know there's so much going on in his mind.
Oh.
And so sometimes I'll just say, well, often now I'll just say, right, well, we've got 20 minutes in the car. Like, what do you want from this time? And I don't know. Or I'll say, like, do you want me to listen? Do you want me to talk? Do you want to just listen to music? So we're kind of setting the scene. So I know.
That's so powerful.
And yeah, it's really made a difference to, you know, me asking questions and trying to kind of, you know, be there for him when really I don't know what he needs. So actually just asking people, what do they need from the conversation?
It's so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. I feel like there's so many like nuggets of like Emma Dempsey wisdom in here, which we all need in our lives.
Sorry to interrupt you, but it's also so simple, isn't it?
But we complicate everything, don't we? Yeah. We don't ever just come back to the moment. Yeah,
because we're not taught to have great conversations. It's just presumed that we know how to do it. But we don't, you know, well, we do. I do believe that we do have the skills inherently, but we just kind of forget them and we do other stuff. So sometimes that process is more of an unlearning, like unlearning not to rescue people or try to fix stuff. And relearning the stuff that actually is inherent to us as humans.
God, that's like taking us back to the drama triangle. Isn't it straight there? We don't want that. We don't want that. So we always end the podcast by asking, what is one mindset hack that you live by? So anyone who's maybe just started out on their mindset or coaching journey or whatever, maybe they're feeling overwhelmed or stressed. What's one thing that you do to keep yourself in check?
Yeah, I was going to share this and I was like, oh God, is this really cheesy? Do I share it? But I'm just going to share it because it really works for me. And I do share this sometimes with clients. But so the whole ethos of coaching, which I love, is that like we're creative, resourceful and whole, you know, that we come to the conversation, create a resourceful and whole, and nobody is broken. And I absolutely believe that. And I see that with my clients and the people that I work with, that they're creative, resourceful and whole. So sometimes my mindset hack is reminding myself that if everyone else is like that, then I'm like that too. And so literally I will go to the mirror and I will like say to myself, like, Emma, like when all of those thoughts are there and whatever doubt is creeping in, like sometimes I'll sit with that because it helps me get information. But if I'm wanting to kind of shift my mindset, it's like I'll look in the mirror and I'll go, Emma, like you've got this. You are creative, resourceful and whole. And, you know, you can do anything that you put your mind to. You've got this. And even saying that to you now, I'm like, I feel it. I feel it on a...
Yeah, I can feel it,
But some... So, yeah, just going back to that, like, you know, we've got this.
Oh, it's so powerful. Thank you so much. And where can everybody find you? I'll obviously put your details in the show notes, but where are you most around?
Yeah, where am I most around? That's a good question because I'm not really... haven't really been on... I've taken a bit of a break, a hiatus, is that what the word is, from... Instagram. But I would say if you are a coach, I have a Facebook group called The Coach Collective. Mm-hmm. And for anyone else, I'm on LinkedIn at Emma Dempsey. And also I have two websites, emmadempseycoaching.com. And then the Stellar Conversations is stellarconversations.com.
And amazing.
Yeah, that went so fast.
It went so fast. I know. I was like, and I kind of could, I mean, I could just talk to you for hours though and keep asking you stuff because there's so much wisdom. I'm like, but maybe we'll do a round two at some point, you know? Thank you so much, Emma. Take care.
Bye.
Oh my goodness. I could speak to Emma all day long. Literally, we probably spoke for half an hour before and half an hour after that recording. So that is proof. She is so kind and so wonderful. And do check her out and make sure you connect with her because she does brilliant things, but also like in the kindest way, which is what we are all about on the podcast. It's time to get really comfortable, really cozy as we go into this week's mini meditation. So I want you to firstly just close the eyes and just take a moment. I want the feet to be flat down on the floor. Maybe spread the toes slightly. Feel the connection to the earth. Drawing in that slow breath. Breathing into the belly, just allowing the body to relax, taking time, there's no rush. Noticing where any resistance may be, and let's just let that go. Let's just take a moment. letting go of expectation, letting go of pressure. Noticing how you feel. Showing kindness to where you are today. Breathing in. Breathing in. Breathing in, slowing down. You are exactly where you are supposed to be. You are exactly where you are supposed to be. I am open to change. I am ready to evolve. I am proud of myself today. Drawing in a nice deep breath. Gently opening the eyes and thanking yourself for being in your practice today. Thank you so much, as always. I will see you again next week.